Look at verse number 13, Psalm 27 and verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't know what you get when you read that verse. We'll read next in a minute, but every time I read that verse, I take it, I may be wrong, but I take it that he's saying things were so bad that I would have just gave up unless I believed that God was going to work it out on out yonder in the future somewhere. I had fainted. I just give up, passed out, fell over, throw in the towel if I hadn't believed that God would somehow bring good out of all my trouble and I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now here's the verse. And this is a hard one. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'm going to be preaching to you tonight on that subject, waiting on the Lord. Let's all read that verse together, okay? You ready? Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When I first got saved, I'd read that verse, and something would click in my soul that knew what it meant, but me and my mind didn't know what it meant. You know what I'm saying? Down inside, I knew that it was something that I was going to have to learn how to do. And down inside, it was something telling me that God don't always do what we want to do when we want him to do it. But I wasn't ready to learn that verse when I first got saved. God began to deal with me, and the Lord began to speak to me, and I began to learn some things, as the book of Hebrews says, about learning by exercise to discern both good and evil. Things began to happen to me in my Christian life. And little by little, I have learned and am learning what it means to wait on the Lord. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're going to have to learn, if you're going to be a good Christian, what it means to learn how to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength as eagles. In other words, there's a lot in the Bible about waiting on God. Now, I want to say something to the young and the old. God does not always do everything you want him to when you want him to do it. You say, well, Brother Danny, he loves us. I know he loves us. But God don't always jump when we say jump. God don't always move when we ask him to move. When I first started preaching, I'd get an opportunity to preach somewhere and I'd take it serious. Brother, I'd pray all day. I'd fast. I'd weep. I'd cry. I'd search my heart. I'd shut myself up in a room. I'd do everything I could. I just knew that because I'd done that, God just had to sweep through in mighty power and great things would happen. And I would get up sometime and it would be absolutely dead as 4 o'clock. And I thought, Lord, I've done everything you said to do. And the Lord sometime would speak to me and he'd say, one day. I mean, sometimes we serve God one day or one week and we expect just great and mighty things to happen. Brother, the Bible said, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. They say, I believe there's going to be a mighty revival come. There may be, and I hope there is, and I'm praying that there will be. But it may not be for 10 years. It may not be for 5 years. It may not be for 20 years. You say, why, Brother Danny? Because God don't always move when we want him to move. I'm going to say a few things that illustrate that thing tonight. I believe it'll help you in your Christian life. We are living in a very dangerous age. The age you and I live in, our philosophy is, if you want a good time, go have you a good time. If you want to quit work, quit work. If you want a new wife, just dump yours and get you, swap your 40 in for 220 and shack up with them a while. We're living in a generation where do what you want to do when you want to do it. Don't wait for anything. That is completely contrary to what the Bible teaches a Christian must learn how to do. The first thing I want to say this evening is wait on his time. Wait on His time. God has a time that He wants to move. God has a time that He wants to bless. God has a time that He wants to answer your prayer. God has a time in which He wants to give you your request. Thank you, brother. God has a time in which He wants to give what you want Him to give. But you and I must learn to wait on God's time. You know what the difference between a backslider is and somebody who's still going to church? The backslider was not willing to wait on the Lord. Things didn't turn out like he thought it would. He thought God would just take care of all his problems overnight, and God didn't. And so he just went back out into sin. And a lot of times you talk to them and they'll say, "Well, Brother Denny, I served God for 2 years, and this didn't happen, and that didn't happen, and I thought God would help me out, and He didn't." But they just did not wait long enough. I'm telling you, brother, we need to learn to wait on the Lord and on His time. To do this, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 8. Let's go back to the book of Genesis briefly. And I'm not going to be long, Lord willing. And I'm going to show you a few things here in the Bible about waiting on the Lord. And you'll get in a lot of trouble if you don't learn how to wait on Him. In the book of Genesis chapter number 8, we find Noah in the ark. The flood is over. It's done. The rain's over with. And let's look at how Noah learned to wait on God's time. Now, I read the Bible where it said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But that ain't the only reason God Almighty chose Noah to build that ark and be preserved through the flood. There's a greater reason. Noah was a great man. And one of the reasons I know Noah was a great man, because of what I read about him here in this scripture. Noah had some patience. You know, we ain't been working on that building down there for just several months, and it really gets to our patience. How would you like to try to build 120 years? He was in a building program for 120 years. You'd pat your little grandbabies on the head and say, "Now, honey, maybe your kids will get to see the new boat we're building, you know," or something like that. Back then, they lived a lot longer than them. 120-year building that boat. Oh, Noah learned patience. Oh, boy, he learned what it meant to take his time. I bet old Noah come in from work one day, and him, there sat Shem, there sat Ham, there sat Japheth. There they all sat around the evening table, and Miss Noah's coming in. She said, "Honey, when is that ark going to be finished?" And Noah said, "Honey, I'd say we got about 80, 85 more years." And she said, "Oh, good Lord. I mean, you mean to tell me 85 years? They make fun of me when I go downtown. They call me the fanatic's wife. They're laughing at our boys. You up there sawing and hammering. We could have a nice house. You wouldn't spend all your time down there bailing on that crazy-looking boat. There ain't even no water around here. How's it going to float?" And Noah said, "Honey, one of these days, when the boat's finished, the Lord will send the water." And she said, "You sure the Lord send?" He said, "You just better hope the Lord don't send the water before the boat's finished. You better quit nagging us and let us build that thing." And so they worked and they worked and they worked and they worked and they worked 120 years. I don't know how old Shem, Ham, Japheth was, but brother, they was married and grown, married and all that, and they helped their daddy, and he built the boat. Now, watch this. Then, Genesis chapter 6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and God got sick and tired of putting up with it. And there's a lot happened in the first few chapters of Genesis. 1,000 years went by there, even though it just 5 or 6 short chapters. But in Genesis 6, 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis 6, 14, God told Noah to make the ark. He went to work on it. He told him how to build it and what to do with it. Now, look at Genesis 7 and verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Now, the Lord told him here, he said this. He said, "Noah, you come into the ark." And as he was speaking to him, he said, "Yet 7 days I'll cause the flood to come." Now, that does not mean that Noah went into the ark and stayed in there 7 days before it started raining. A lot of people preach it that way. A lot of people teach it that way. A lot of people believe it that way. That is not what the Bible says. God spoke to Noah in Genesis 7:1 and said, "Noah, you come into the ark, for in 7 days I will cause the flood to come on the earth." You say, "What happened?" He gave them 7 days to get the animals in. The animals did not come into the ark until God told Noah that to come in. So, watch it now, Genesis 7:1, and he said, come thou into the ark for yet 7 days, verse 4, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, this, that, and the other. Verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. You said to go in? No, not yet. It's relapping itself. The first few chapters of Genesis, it relapsed and recounts itself over and over and over. Now, Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. The flood waters wasn't on the earth before he went in, was it? Well, he didn't go in until verse 7. So it says the flood waters were on the earth in verse 6, telling you what all happened. Then it goes back to where you are. Verse 7, Noah went in, he, his son, his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And there went in two and two, Noah and the ark, male and female, as God has commanded him. Now, verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days. Not 7 days after he went in, 7 days after God told him to go in. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus said in Matthew, the day that Noah entered into the ark, the flood was upon the earth. Now listen, I wasn't planning on getting off on all that, but I preached it wrong like that when I first started preaching. I just wanted to maybe help y'all. Don't feel bad if you made the same mistake. But anyway, the Lord said here, you come into the ark, and you come in, and that's what God done. There went in male and female, and this happened, that happened. And the rain, verse 12, was upon each on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Look at verse 13. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham. You can't take it chronologically, or you got them going into the ark three or four times. Right? Amen? See, it says they went in here, they went in there, they went in. How many times did they go in that thing? It's recounting it. It's backing up, overlapping itself. The Bible does that a lot. You got to be careful. That's what caused you to get confused. They entered in. They, every beast after his kind, every cattle after their kind, this, that, and the other. And they went into the ark, two and two of all flesh, where is the breath of life. They went in male and female, and the Lord shut him in, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. Verse 19, 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. Every living thing that creepeth on the earth drowned. The fish did not drown because they could swim. But every living creature on the earth drowned, and God destroyed it. That's why there's so much more fish than there are any kind of animal, I reckon. That God left them and preserved them through the flood, and on the creeping things were destroyed. Now, the point I want to make is, let's look at how long Noah and his family were in the ark. Here he says, come on, honey, it's time to go in. She says, oh boy, dedication day. I can't wait to go in this thing. I've been looking forward to seeing it. Come on, Shem, Ham, David, go over here. Get your wife over here. Get the kids over here. And here they come. Or ever, how many? There's just eight. There wasn't no kids. That's right. Then they come in, and all those eight people. Noah, Miss Noah, Japheth, Miss Japheth, Shem, Miss Shem, Ham, Miss Ham. And brother, here they come. And don't y'all think that. Bad manners. But anyway, here they come. Those three boys, their wives, they came in, and here they went in. I imagine when they went in there, they thought, boy, here we are, in the ark. When's it going to rain, Dad? He said, just a few minutes, boys. The Lord's going to shut us in. About that time, boom, that door shut. And boy, they never even touched that thing. I said, who done that? And they said, God shut us in. And boy, God shut that door and latched that thing, brother, and the Lord just took his finger and went, and sealed it. And it's like he sealed you and me when we get saved. And the wrath, the waters couldn't touch them. And God shut him in, sealed him up there, where water couldn't get in that boat. And boy, directly they heard something just a pouring outside, and the rain started coming. Now, I don't know what, they probably had lanterns in there. Let's all use imagination. I want you to get just a minute. Use imagination. All right, we're in the ark, okay? Here we are. And boy, over here, and you hear it just a pouring the rain outside, and outside you hear the old sinners. And they're... Noah! Noah! Ah! Boy, I bet for the first few hours it was scary, don't you? And boy, they just sat down. Miss Noah said, I can't buy. Noah, why don't we just open up and let them in? And Noah said, I can't, honey. God shuts a door and no man can open it. I can't let them in. They're doomed, they're doomed. And boy, she cried. She thought about her friends. She thought about her maybe loved ones outside. Boy, don't you know that was a scary time? And then a few days, it rained all night long. It rained all day, brother. I mean, it rained well, it didn't rain cats and dogs. It poured, Lord, it rained awful. And brother, it come down, it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and little by little, every once in a while, they'd fill that old boat, do like this. And one of them said, I believe we're getting ready to start floating. I don't know how many days, probably maybe a couple of days. I don't know, I read one time how fast the water fell, but I don't know how long it was before the ark started floating, but I bet it was a strange sensation when they felt that thing first begin to float. I bet it was scary. Those first 40 days, maybe the first 20 days and 20 nights, probably went by pretty fast. After two or three days, they didn't hear no more cries. They didn't hear no more screams. It was just floating out there on the water. Now, I want you to notice, brother, that Noah and his family stayed inside that boat. All them animals, and they're stinking, and them having babies, and using the bathroom, and everything right there inside a boat for almost 1 year. And brother, they were in that boat day after day, day after day, never saw the light of the sun, never saw a pretty sky, never saw the sunshine of the morning, never got to take a walk on ground. I remember we was just on that boat a few days, and then, Lord, that's like a... When I got home, it still felt like everything was doing this. And boy, I tell you what, man, they were on that thing for a long time. Now watch it. I want you to notice something. Look at chapter 8 and verse number 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. So the waters began to dry up. The rain stopped. It quit raining. The windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, according to the verse number 2. Verse 3, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, you listen? 150 days, the waters were abated. Now, if I got that right, it rained 40 days and 40 nights, right? And it took 150 days, for the water to go down. How many days is that? 190. I don't know how many months is 190 days. 6 months and 10 days? But let's see where we are on the calendar. Now when Noah went in the ark, it was the second month, the 17th day of the month, he was 600 years old. The day Noah went in the ark, it was the second month. Got it? 17th day of the month, he was 600 years old. Now, I believe that's right, ain't it? All right. Chapter 7, verse 11. Right. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Now, so we see here that it was second month, 17th day of the month, in the 600th year of his life. Now notice, in chapter number 8 and verse number 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. Now notice, after the waters went down 150 days, making 190 altogether, He waited 40 more days before he ever sent the bird out. Now, you think about that. In that ark, you've been in there 6 months. I can imagine every day, Shem, Ham, and Japheth's wives would say, well, then we're going to get out. We're going to get out today. We're going to get out. Boy, I can't wait. We're going to get out there and plant us a garden. And Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah, all of them were wanting to get out of that. And they said, it's quit raining, Daddy. It's quit raining. Let's go out. Let's put one of the lifeboats down. Take a little cruise. Ride around out there and see what's going on. Paddle around a little bit. He said, no. They said, Daddy, how long are we going to wait? He said, 40 days. 40 days? We ain't got nothing to do. Well, feed them animals. Hey, some of them ain't been fed today. Feed them. Brush one of them or help one of them. Go pray a while. Get caught up on your scroll reading. Do something. Try to be a blessing to somebody. They said, ain't nobody to be a blessing to. They said, well, you ought to thank God for that. You three women ought to be able to get along in here and do something. And they said, how long are we going to wait? And he said, 40 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, let's go out. Good night. We can probably see a mountain or something. He said, no, it ain't God's time. And they said, what? He said, wait upon the Lord. The Lord ain't said go out. Finally, that 38th day come, and they sit around and said, oh, boy, I can't wait. Day after tomorrow, we get to go out. Day after tomorrow, can't wait. And the big day finally come, they said, we're going to go out. Noah said, no, we're not going out. I'm going to send these birds out. They said, oh, we're not, it's not going to happen to us. Let's go. He sent those two birds out. And one of them, it flew around, landed on top of the boat, landed on a little twig somewhere, flew around, round, round, until the water, he never did come back. But he sent that dove out, and that dove went out, and he couldn't find no place to rest the sole of her feet, so the dove came back. They waited those 40 days, but were not through. Verse 10. And he stayed yet other 7 days, waiting on the Lord. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. A whole week! I can imagine them girls said, well, good night, the other bird didn't come back. Let's go up on top of the boat and sit in the sun. Well, we ain't seen the sun in almost a year. I've lost every bit of tan I had. And they said, well, go to the tanning booth. And they said, there ain't no such a thing yet. Them dummies in the 20th century is going to go in there and put them in a coffin and lay down there and let them cook them like a microwave. We got better sense than that. And the other one said, well, maybe he'll let us go out and sit on top of the boat for a little while. And so they went and they said, Noah, can we go up? Can we just go up and just sit on the sunshine? We won't get off, honest. And he said, no, God ain't said go out yet. Ooh. Wait a week. Sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came into the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from up there. You say, Brother Danny, why didn't he look out the window? There wasn't but one window in that thing that sprayed up. You couldn't see out that way. All that feet straight up when they let that dove out. And boy, it come back with a little twig guy, a little olive leaf, and he said, oh, hallelujah, here we go. Let's go. Look at verse 12. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And sent forth the dove, which not returned not again unto him anymore. But we're not through. After that leaf come back, he said, we're going to stay another week, kids. They said, oh, Daddy, there ain't. Let's go. Come on, Daddy. Let's go. Let us go out. We can go out there. If that dove can find the leaf, they freeze growing. There ain't no telling what's out there. Flares. Let's go, Daddy. And Noah said, nope. And he said, why? He said, it ain't God's time. Wait upon the Lord. Verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year in the first month. Now, good night. Look at here. We're in the 601st year now. We're in the first month, the first day of the month. We have went almost a year that the waters were dried from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, did y'all see what I said? He got up there and peeped out and looked out and seen dry ground. I tell you, I don't know if I could have resisted it. Been in that thing for a year almost. Here you go. Son, he owned the world. Every bit of property was his. Just get out there and run crazy, boy. Plant you a garden. Wouldn't you love to get out of that ark? He got up there and put the little porthole up or opened that little flap door or catch or whatever it was and got out there and peeped around. And you know when he done that? He done that in the first month, the first day of the month. So, you got any trouble figuring that out? First month, first day. First day of the first month. And he peeped out there and looked, and the earth was dried. Look at verse 14. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried, and God spake unto Noah. That boy stayed 57 days after he'd done peeped out and seen dry land. All the rest of the first month and 27 days of the second month. 57 days. Brother, he learned to wait on God's time. That don't excite me too much, does it you? I ain't too thrilled. I want to do what I want to do now. I want it to happen now. I want God to move now. Here's an old boy that saw the dry land and had to wait 56 more days. Preachers, you may see what God wants you to do. God may not let you do it for 5 years. Maybe 10 years. It took God 40 years to mold Moses into the man he wanted him to have. Why should you use him? 57 more days. And God spake. He went out of that boat almost 4 or 5 months after it done been, the water done started down. Thank God he learned to wait on God's time. But let me mention another character right quick. We'll just forget about Noah for right now. Abraham, you don't have to turn to it. In Genesis 12:2, God promised Abraham a son. God appeared to Abraham in Genesis 12:2, and God said, Abraham, I am going to give you a son. And Abraham said, Lord, you know how old me and Sarah is. Me and the woman, she's about over the hump. I am too. And we ain't going to have no kids. And the Lord said, I said you'd have one. Well, time went on. And brother, the promise was made in verse number 4. But Abraham was 75 years old. In Genesis 15, God appeared to him again and confirmed that he was going to do what he said. But in chapter 16, Abraham got impatient. Y'all listen? God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I am going to give you and Sarah, your wife, a son. Now Abraham was 75 years old. And after the flood, though, people quit living as long as they used to. You watch it after the flood, their life gets shorter and shorter and shorter on down to where we are nowadays. There was something that happened during the flood that all the protective rays were knocked out of the atmosphere. And brother, we just kick the bucket a lot earlier now than you used to. Around the Earth's atmosphere that protected you from harmful rays of the sun, this, that, and the other. At least so we think. But anyway, I tell you what, brother, God told Abraham, said, you and Sarah are going to have a son. And they said, oh, not so, Lord. We're too old. And the Lord said, yeah, you are. And so Abraham got impatient, and he's sitting around talking to Sarah, and he said, now, Sarah, I know that God is going to, God don't lie. God told me we was going to have a son. She said, that's right, Abe. And they got sitting around, and she said, we just might as well face it. Me and you ain't going to have no kids. Why, look at here, Abraham, I'm old and wrinkled. I look like a prune. And you ain't what you used to be, neither. And he said, well, honey, I don't know what. Quit making fun of me. And she said, we might as well face it, son. We're over the hill. And we ain't going to have no kids. And you know what they done? They begin to rationalize. And they be trying to figure out God. And, brother, they made a terrible mistake by trying to help God out. They tried to help God fulfill his promise. And brother, I'm on the worst of the world, and you probably are too. God will tell us he'll do something, and we're not willing to wait on it, and we try to make it happen before God makes it happen. And I tell you, that's where a lot of preachers mess up, a lot of churches mess up. They're going in the right direction, their desire's right, and their motive may be right, but they are not willing to wait on God. Brother, we need to learn to wait on God. Let him do the work. Let him. I'm not talking about sitting around doing nothing, but I'm saying not try to rush God. God sometimes move a lot slower than we think he will. Easy to get ahead of the Lord. Sarah said, Abraham, take old Hagar over here. Hagar, come here. And Hagar, I don't know what she could look like with a name like that. Come here, Hagar. I picture Hagar as, just an old gray thing over her head. And she comes in and she's got bangs cut straight across her like that. And her hair is black. She's got bangs right across her like that. And she's real ugly. And she's real. And she just said, she said, Hagar, you know what? I'm going to let you be Abraham's wife a little while. Because God promised us a son. I'm going to let you have my son. Because I can't have him. And Hagar, they talked her into it. And so Abraham took Hagar and made her his wife. And Abraham and Hagar had a boy. His name. Now that's one of the worst mistakes a man could make. Abraham was not willing to wait on God's time. He tried to rush it up. Help God out. Do God's work for him. And brother, he had Ishmael, and Ishmael fought Isaac all the days. There's always enemies. Ishmael became the father of the Arab nation. And brother, those people over in Arabia, and if Abraham had not got ahead of God, there wouldn't have been no Ishmael. They wouldn't have been no Arabs, and they wouldn't have all the oil, and gas wouldn't be so high now. That's right. That's right, brother. If one man had waited on God, see what a mess you get into when you get ahead of God? Ishmael, sorry thing. That's his son over yonder that makes oil so high and gas and kerosene, diesel fuel. So Abraham got ahead of him. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I told you I was going to give you and Sarah, son. And Abraham said, that's what you get for thinking. That's what's wrong with you human beings. If you just believe me and quit trying to figure everything out. Let me say to you, church, here tonight, learn to wait upon the Lord. Learn to wait on. You say, well, God promised me. Son, if God promised you something, just sit back and grit in your teeth, brother, and grin and hold on to that promise. God will bring it to pass. He may not bring it to pass when you think it will. Some of you divorcees, some of you that have problems mentally or physically or spiritually or whatever kind of financially, God may have made you a promise. Son, if everything pops in your mind, ain't God. But if God showed you something, God gave you something, if God gave you a promise in the book, he'll bring it to pass. I'll guarantee it. 1 Chronicles 14:14. David was going out to battle. He said, let's go, Lord. I got my sword. Let's go. Let me at him. And the Lord said, wait. And David said, wait on what? He said, wait till you hear the sound of the gong. Now, can you imagine? Here's a whole army sitting here with her sword, brother, just biting at the bit, wanting to get out there and stab the enemy, cut somebody's head off or something, and they're sitting here waiting on a little whirlwind to go around in them little boys. Come on, Lord, ain't it about time for that thing? And they sit there, trying to help God out. Turn the fan on, brother, do something. I tell you, let me tell you, brother, God said don't go! And the moral man said, sure enough, it wasn't long. Start moving them things around. All right, boys, let's get it. And boy, there's just something about waiting on God when you do go out to battle. Glory to God, brother. You know, that's the way he told those disciples over there in the book of Luke and all there. Pray till you be endued with power from on high. You know, sometimes we would be better off. We would be better off to wait on God an hour and go out an hour than rather to go out 2 hours without waiting on God. You can get more done in 15 minutes after you waited on the Lord than you can in 2 hours before you just jumped up and run. Wait on the Lord. God waited 4,000 years to send his son. And the earth are groaning. He told Eve, brother, Eve, in less than a week after man committed the first sin, and I will put in between thy seed and the seed of the woman, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And God said, my seeds are coming, the seed of the woman. God in Genesis 3 promised that Jesus Christ would come. People looked for him. It took 4,000 years for him to get here. People say, oh, I've heard that stuff all my life. Don't matter, son. Don't matter. God made a promise to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve looked for the Messiah. She thought Cain was the Messiah when he was born. She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And no doubt every boy is born. They thought, that's him, that's him, that's him, that's him. And they was dead and gone, and the great-great-grandson is dead and gone before God fulfilled that promise. Wait on God. Let me say secondly right quickly, wait on his power. Wait on his power. Sometimes we need to learn to wait. Sunday school teacher, you say, well, Brother Danny, I get down and I pray for all of my students every week. Yeah, that's good, and you ought to do that. But I'll tell you something, brother. You know what you need to do? Learn to wait on his power. In other words, after you get through praying, just put it in neutral and sit there a few minutes. And just say, all right, God, fill me. God, fill me. And when you think he filled you, stay there a little bit longer. And when you say, well, glory to God, I got the victory, make yourself stay down there a little bit longer. When you get up to about a third of the way through the sermon or the lesson, you'll feel something you're going to do. Spirit of God will bear witness to what you say. And you see people start listening. Brother, I've tried to wait on God sometime before I preached, and got up and preached. And son, I'd say something, and I'd see somebody way back in the congregation just get broke all the pieces. Start crying. See them jump up and come to altar during the mess. You know what? That's God, bud. That's God. A man can't do that. You can't even get people's attention. You can't even listen these days, brother, on purpose. God, you have to wait on God's power. That's the secret. In Luke 24, as I mentioned a while ago, they had their commission to preach. A risen Savior. The greatest news the world's ever heard. Let's go. Let's go, boy. Let's go. We're going to go preaching tomorrow. Let's go preach. One said, no, we ain't going. Why? The Lord told him, wait. Wait on what? He said, hey, in Jerusalem do you endued with power from on high? And they said, oh, won't we witness? Won't we go down here at the street corner? There's a bunch of people getting off work, and we'll go witness to them, and then we'll go over and take. No, they just said, the Lord didn't say go witness. The Lord didn't say go preach on the street. The Lord said, wait. The Lord said, wait. And they said, all right, let's go. So they went down there in the upper room. And one of them sat down there and said, boy, it sure is a blessing to be saved, ain't it? Amen, brother, you got a word on your heart. And they had them big service for about 2 hours. And one of them said, well, we waited. Now let's go. And one of them said, no, that ain't it. It ain't time. They said, well, we got the fire of God. Didn't you feel that blessing when brother so-and-so stood up and sung? No, they said, that ain't it. That ain't it. They said, well, maybe God has sent his power. And they said, no, I believe when he sends it, we'll all know it. And one of them talked them into staying there, and they stayed there. You know how long they had to stay? 10 days. Don't you know about 50 times during those 10 days, one of them thought they felt the fire came. One of them is down praying, wow, oh, glory to God, I got it. How did this happen? That happened. And one of them, that ain't it. That ain't it. Nope. Nope. When it comes, we'll know it. When the day of Pentecost was come, they were all getting one chord and one place. Boy, people were doing like this, don't they? One of them, glory to God, here it is. The Holy Ghost came in that room and filled them, and they went out of that room and turned the world upside down. Peter, who had just cussed and denied his Lord not long before that, jumped up and preached a sermon that day, and thousands were saved. You know why? Wait. The Bible said, wait on the Lord. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, they shall renew their strength as eagles. They say that the Olympics have as their motto, swifter, higher, and stronger. That in English, that's the Olympic motto. Swifter, higher, stronger. Thank God we've got Isaiah 40 and verse 31. The Christian Olympic motto, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll walk and not be weary. They'll run and not faint. But it will be swifter, higher, stronger if we'll learn to wait on the Lord. You know that bats live longer about any little animal a bat lives 20 years and most birds don't live nowhere near that long. Do you know why a bat lives so long? They say that the reason a bat lives so long is that it has such an amazing ability to relax. Really? A bat can just sit back on a, you know, hang from its feet, brother, and just stand and forget the whole world. Just put his mind out of gear. It's like laying under, you heard about that old fella that went down and laid under the persimmon tree, you know? Just laid down, he said, "Breath, I have drawn you for the lifetime. If you're going to come in anymore, you're going to have to come in on your own." I mean, there's a blessing in not being so hyper, brother. Just cool it. Have you ever noticed how long people like that live? They just take it easy. Nothing bothered. They learn to wait. Now listen, you know what a bat can do? Soon as a bat gets through with a fight, it can reduce his heartbeat from 180 a minute to 3. He can just cool it. I mean, brother, he can just cut it off. When things don't go the way we get, we're just, I don't know what I'm going to, hold on. You know what a bat does? He just, beating 180 times a minute, then 3 times a minute, brother, idling. And he can cut his breath down from 8 breaths per second to 1 every 8 minutes. While he's fighting, he's breathing 8 times a minute. I can't even breathe that many. And then all of a sudden, when he wants to just cool it, he can sit back and breathe 1 time every 8 minutes. Now, you'd live a long time, brother, if you'd just learn to sit back and breathe. Well, you wouldn't live more than 8 minutes. But, I mean, if you could somehow do it, cut them breaths down. Listen. You know what's wrong with some of you people? And me, too. You know, we're all worried. We're all tore up. What are we going to do? Oh, no. What are we going to do? Oh, Lord, what are we learn to just forget. Well, we just learn to forget it and wait on God. One of the worst messes a church can get into when we get all hyper and get all hyped up and we're trying to prove to everybody else we're in God's will, or we're trying to prove this, we're trying to prove you. We don't have to prove nothing, folks. We don't. This is God's church. The Lord started. He adds to it. He'll take it out one of these days. It's His business how He wants to run it. When you would be a lot happier and live a lot longer if we just sit back and let God do the driving. Wait. Here's a good way to look at it. There's a king one time had a fellow do him wrong and he sentenced him to death. And this fellow, I like what he said. I don't even know if this fits in the message or not. But anyway, he said, he's looking at the bright side of it, and he said, "If the king will but let me live, I will teach the king's horse to fly within a year." And the king granted him his request. He said, "All right, you dummy, if you think you can do it, I won't kill you for a year. Teach my horse to fly. If my horse can fly within a year, you don't have to die." And somebody got that guy in there and they said, "What made you do a dumb thing like that? You ain't going to teach that horse to fly." And he said, "Who knows?" He said, "I may die. The king may die. The horse may die. Within a year, you don't know what's liable to happen." And he said, "And furthermore, who knows? The horse might learn to fly." That's looking at the bright side, brother. I mean, you never know until you try, amen? You know, what do we do a lot of times? Say, "Woe is me, all is lost, I give up, quit, sir, go back and live for the devil." Brother, we ought to learn to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Listen to me now, preachers. In West Africa, the missionary was there 14 years before one soul was saved. In East Africa, 10 years before one soul was saved. Listen, boys, get it good. You'll face it one day. New Zealand, 9 years. Tahiti, 16 years before one convert. William Carey, the great missionary, labored 7 years before one person got saved, one Hindu. And Adoniram Judson, 7 years also. And he wrote back home and said, "Beg the church to have patience." In 1853 in India, there's one little old church like a little mission, and it had 10 converts in 15 years. And the leaders got together and said, "It's not doing any good. We ought to just abolish it. Just close the door. 10 people saved in 15 years. And they called it the Lone Star of India. And the fellow who wrote some famous song people sing about America or something like that, some fellow, went home that night and wrote a poem. And he said, "Shine on, Lone Star, in grief and tears, and sad reverses oft baptized. Shine on amid thy founder's fears. Lone stars in heaven are not despised." He was saying to that little church, keep shining amid your tears, amid your disappointments, amid your heartache. Keep shining. Lone stars in heaven are not despised. They kept the doors open. 30 years later, that church had spread all over the place and had 15,000. We have a lot of trouble. And we've had a lot lately. I personally have had a whole bunch. I've had more trouble in the past 6 months. A lot of it, y'all don't even know about, I mean, just trouble, brother. One thing right after another. I don't even feel what I'm getting ready to say right now. But I believe it, even though I don't feel it. The Bible says, you bring forth fruit, God purgeth you, that you may bring forth more fruit. If we'll hold our head up through our battles, wait on God. Stick to the fight when you hit hard. After you've proved yourself, and I've proved myself, or we've proved ourselves, the Lord's got extra blessings. You say, how long, brother? I don't know how long. Maybe a month. Wouldn't that be a blessing? But what we need to do is wait. And then let me say thirdly, I'm going to hurry and I'm going to close in a moment. Wait on His directions. Wait on His directions. God has a will for everybody in here. You need to wait on God and pray that the Lord will show you His direction for your life. If you don't, you could make a very, very bad mistake. Especially young people. How many of y'all ain't married? Ain't married. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You ain't ashamed of it, are you? Raise your hand. You ain't married. Okay. How many of you wish? All right. Listen. How many? You are not married. You raise your hands and I'm not married. Now, you know what a pitfall is going to be for you? It's going to be hard for you girls and boys to wait on the right one that God wants you to marry. If you ain't real careful, if you're not real careful, girls, some old sorry good for nothing will come along and you'll say, well, he ain't that bad. I mean, and you'll try your best to find something good about that sorry so you can go ahead and get married. Cool it! Wait! Forget him! He says, well, he keeps bugging me and bugging me and he won't leave me alone. He tries, tell him to get lost, man. Get out of here, yeah. You can buy me a ring. You can do, if you can be nice to him, you can call me once in a while. Get out. Don't bug me. Don't mess with my tooth. Tell him to get lost. Tell him to go jump in the lake. That's right. Tell him where to get off at. You say, well, Brother Danny, I love him. Now, I say, what's wrong with you? I'll diagnose you right here. You think that love is a feeling. And you think because you feel this funny feeling in your stomach that you love that person. Now, when you love a person, you're going to feel a funny feeling in your stomach. But that don't mean you love them. Because love ain't a feeling, brother. Love ain't a feeling. Love is not a feeling. I'll guarantee you that Brother Dale could go out here on Main Street tomorrow morning and he could find him somebody's secretary walking down the street and walk up and hug him and say, hey, beautiful! And I'll guarantee you he'd feel something. But that does not mean he loves her, nor she loves him. You know what happens to young people these days? Their body gets ahead of their mind. All they see on TV is love, 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 kiss me, hold me, hug me, all this junk. And they see it constantly, day in, day out. And they think, naturally, first time you go out on a date, you're supposed to just, you know, all kind of stuff like that. And then their body gets ahead of their mind, and they ain't even thinking straight. Their body's got them hooked. And the desire for physical relation overshadows their better judgment. And the next thing you know, they done something stupid. They done something crazy. you better think about them and talk to them a long time before you ever let them touch you. Because once they touch you, that's it. You melt, brother. You're gone, man. You've had it. You start thinking, well, I love him. I'll overlook this. I'll overlook that. He'll change. No! He won't change. He'll be just like he is. No. You ain't going to change him. He ain't going to change you. You better pick a long time. Or wait a long time before you pick one girl. Wait a long time before you pick one, boys. You say, boy, every time I think about her, yeah, that's what you get. You need to read your Bible more and pray more before the Lord lets you make a stupid mistake. Wait on his direction. Somebody said, when God shuts the door, he opens the window. And that's true. If you will just say, all right, Lord, whatever you want from me, whoever you want from me, wherever you want from me, I'm willing to wait. It don't matter. And God will begin to reveal to you. In Acts 16, they were trying to go somewhere, and they won't go anywhere about it. And they waited on the Lord's direction, and the Holy Spirit spoke and told them where to go. Somebody said George Mueller. They looked in George Mueller's Bible one time. You know the great man who read the Bible through 200 times, 100 on his knees. Prayed in millions of dollars, never took up an offering. And they read George Mueller's Bible, and you know that verse that says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? He had made him a little note out there, and it said, the stops of a good man are also ordered by the Lord. In other words, God don't only order our steps, he orders our stops. And sometimes you're a lot safer just to stop. It's like the fella here who's out in the highway. And he's standing here in the middle of the road, and his car's going, pew, and the car's going, pew, behind him. And somebody says, which is the best direction for him to go? Neither one. You know what he better do? He better stand right still. Sometimes we come to the point and I go back. Just hold what you got. Stand still. And then stay up. Let God tell you when to stop. Let God tell you when to start. Over in the Old Testament, when they're coming out, you know what that pillar of cloud, it led them so far, they didn't stop. They didn't want to keep on going and leave that thing. They stopped when he stopped. They moved when he moved. It's like this. That's what we better do. That's what we better do. You ever lose sight of God in this wilderness, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Last thing is wait on his word to be fulfilled. Luke 2:25, they waited. You know much of the Bible has never been fulfilled yet. A lot of the Bible. A lot of the Old Testament has never been fulfilled yet. We ought to learn to wait on his word. Now, some things are fulfilled immediately. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can come up here tonight and believe on the Lord, the word of God be fulfilled. But there's some parts of it you've got to wait a long time. Victory. Prayer is answered. You girls that got husbands not saved. Wait. If things ain't working out like you think they are, just stay faithful. Keep coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. God will work it out. Don't get impatient. Don't blow it. Don't do something silly. You'll regret it down the road somewhere. Learn to wait. Never head bowed, never eye closed. No talking, no looking around. Sister Kathy comes to the piano and Brother John gets a song. Brother, could we sing maybe that song? I think we ought to just end the service with that old song tonight. You need to come and pray. Maybe you're about to do something dumb. You need to come and pray for patience. Oh, Lord, help me to wait. Help me to wait. God, help us tonight as a church, as individuals, to wait upon the Lord. We know Abraham made a dumb mistake when he tried to work things out on his own and get ahead of you. Oh, God, there may be somebody in here tonight. They may be thinking about doing something crazy. Lord, help them. Help them, God, to wait. It may take years to work it out. Maybe it's family problems. Maybe it's financial problems. They might be somebody in here thinking about suicide. I don't know. God, please, get it out of their mind. Help them learn to wait on you. You'll work it out and see them through. We love you, and help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Here we go now. While these are coming to pray, maybe some of you ladies want to come and pray with them. Some of you men. Sing now.
God has not promised, God's always.
Sing now, everybody sing, everybody sing.
Flowers grown pathways all our lives through. God has not promised.
sing now.
But God has promised.